Hello and welcome to Kiwi Rider Podcast. My name is Ray here and great to have you along. If this is the first episode of ours you have listened to, please do, as I always say, go back to the back catalogue. Have a listen to all the other episodes because there's so many up right now. I don't even number them anymore. I just number them by year. Joining me this episode, and I think it might be the first time of 2024, the one and only Matthew Day-Gillett. G'day, Matt.
Hey, man. Yeah, I can't remember if I've done any 2024 episodes yet, so let's assume it's the first time I've been on all year.
Since we last spoke, and I think it was late last year we talked about the fact, Rosie the Rally, 2017 CRF yep. 250L Rally?
Yep, that's correct.
Sold.
Yes, gone. Off to a new home, having many adventures, exploring the Coromandel and, what are the other range of mountains between just below the Coromandel?
Those ones, anyway.
Yeah, those ones. It's off having great adventures. It's got almost a full set of fresh plastics on it. It looks schmick. Yeah, new owner's enjoying it and already fantasizing about what other bikes he can add to his garage, so that's a good thing.
Nice. Still within the family, though, isn't it, kind?
Yes, sold it to my cousin, who happened to be one of the cousins who initially lit the spark of motorcycling in me back when we were kids. He and his younger brother had farm bikes. Don't ask me what they were. And we used to go riding around the farm, herding sheep, chasing pukekos, getting into trouble. He and my cousin would be riding the bikes, and my younger brother and I would be riding Pillion, and it's almost like we've gone full circle with Rosie the Rally now going to him, and he's starting his road riding career, so he's going through his licensing. I think last time I spoke to him, his plan was he was going to take it down to the South Island. They've got some property down there, and he's going to use it based out of there to do some exploring, which, not going to lie, kind of jealous of.
Only because you're stuck in the North Island, though. If you were stuck down there, you'd look at all the people in the North Island going, oh, I want to go up there.
Oh, I want to go up there. I want to see some dairy cows. I'm sick of seeing sheep.
Well, that's your fault for living in Waikato.
True that.
What else has been going on? My Matamarini Cimezzo SCR has gone back and probably been sold by now, but you're still riding around on the X-Cape.
Yes, for now. In talks to finally give it back. So our mate Stephen, who was the, I suppose, brand manager of Moto Marini in New Zealand, he moved on, and they kind of forgot that I had the X-Cape, and I wasn't telling them that I had it. Didn't want to shout from the rooftops that I still had this rather well-specced bike sitting in the garage with me. But yes, I have to do a photo shoot and a final video wrap-up on it. And then I'm taking it back and hopefully swapping for something else to ride, because otherwise it's going to be a long walk home from Auckland.
It's like you've almost got them over a barrel. Yeah, you can have it back, but you have to give me something to go home with.
Yeah, oh, hopefully it'll be something cool. But honestly, at this point in my riding career, I'm happy to just have the time to go out and ride, which was one of the reasons I sold Rosie. I rode that bike, I think, 6 times last year. So, yeah.
I'm sure if you get something a little bit shinier, a little bit more road-focused, you will ride it a lot more.
Yeah, especially with some new camera kit coming and fancy new lens, and might want to go out and play photographer. So we'll see what the future holds. But at the moment, I've still got the X-Cape. Still absolutely puts a grin on my face each time I ride it. It's got a lot more power than the little Honda Rally. And just cruise around. Nice to go for just a quick ride. Or a longer ride, it does the job. So, yeah, I'll be kind of sad to see it go, but I'm also excited to see what I end up riding next.
Still pumping out the content at onthrottle.co.nz as well, aren't you?
Yeah, somehow I'm managing to do that. Not quite sure how.
I saw a video. Can we talk about the video, the last video that you uploaded on the YouTube channel?
It's not a ghost, it's a dog. Door open behind me. yes, we can talk about that video.
So, basically, at Christmas time, you were like, well, I don't really know what I'm going to be doing with On Throttle, because I've been offered this fantastic opportunity in the way of a job.
Yes, I've been contracting to, contracting to Triumph Motorcycles New Zealand. I've been doing some marketing work for them as a contractor, and it's been, honestly, I've been having a great time doing it. It's been challenging. It's been a really steep learning curve, but it's fun. I like doing that. It's been a bit weird being on the other side of the fence to being a journo. And while I have learnt some things, I can't really say some things about other stuff. So yeah, it's an interesting place to be. It's sort of like sitting on top of the fence with a foot in both camps.
Yes. But it's been good from my point of view, because all the emails get sent, all the communication happens, and it comes from somebody I already know. So thanks for, for sorting that out.
It's surprisingly not hard to stay on top of keeping the media informed, but the previous people in the role didn't seem to bother doing that, which was strange. But
I suppose it helps that you know what, as media entities, we need, so you can easily kind of provide that, right?
There is that, but also Triumph HQ, for instance, sends out sort of the stuff you're meant to pass on to the media. Say if there's an embargoed briefing, and you guys sign up to it, or we sign up to it, because I'm still doing the odd journalist stuff. Like the stuff sitting there, most of the time you're just waiting for sign off on local wording, so like time of arrival of bikes and pricing usually. Other than that, like most of the stuff sitting there waiting, it just needs to be sent. And unfortunately, that just didn't get done by the last couple of people. It was all left to poor old Mike Cross, who's the national sales manager, I think, is his job title. So it was one of the many things, one of the many hats he had to wear. So I've taken that responsibility off him, and I think I'm doing an okay job. Haven't been fired yet, so touch wood, things continue the way they are.
Nice. Well, I like having you on the inside, because it keeps me informed. One story up at onthrottle.co.nz, you brought it to my attention today, and I thought that's a great topic to bring up on the podcast. We got a press release from Harley Davidson with a new, in inverted commas, bike, which you did the story on at On Throttle. I did the story on at Moto NZ. And then you did this kind of, I'm going to call it an opinion piece.
Yeah, let's call it that.
Is it time to give up on Harley Davidson? Now, I'm going to rattle off the byline that you've got here. Harley Davidson's latest announcement has us questioning whether it's time to give up hoping the American motorcycle manufacturer will ever change.
Yeah.
Before we dive into this, let's both just throw it out there that we are both of us more than adult enough to appreciate a Harley Davidson. We will ride them. We don't have anything fundamentally against the people who ride them. We can appreciate them as motorcycles and motorcyclists. However, that the manufacturer is a one-trick pony.
Yeah, it seems that they've gone back that way. So one of the things that when I was putting together that opinion piece, or whinge, whatever way you want to call it, I was sort of thinking back to the 2010s when I was working at the New Zealand Herald and then Bike Rider magazine, and we were seeing a lot of cool stuff coming from Harley. They were really making an effort to try and capture a younger audience, trying to diversify their bike range. We had we had the Lerner street platform come through, so we had the Street 500 and then the Street Rod, both mixed reviews, but hey, any day of the week you can still buy and then sell a Street 500 for 10 grand. Those bikes are just impervious to losing their value, it seems. And yeah, what else? We saw the Livewire debut. That was 10 years ago this week. I got to ride that in Malaysia at the ring road around Sepang. That was in Project Livewire stage when it was a prototype. What else? 2019, they actually brought out the Livewire. Pan America followed soon after that. And since then, I think
they ditched Livewire.
Yeah, they spun it off into its own thing because
they kind of their brand, right?
Yeah, which I don't know. I'm cynical in a way. I sort of think that they did that to get rid of it so that it wouldn't drag down the main brand. But personally, I think they went for the wrong market in debuting Livewire. Fantastic bike, awesome fun, limited by virtue of being an electric motorcycle, but around town, it worked great. And I still haven't had the experience of riding around in the middle of a busy city chatting to a friend next to me on a bike and not having to yell at all and not having comms units on.
We haven't actually mentioned in the story what they have announced. So let me just give you the first couple of lines of that story. Harley-Davidson has announced in its latest new model, which will hit the streets. It's a 50s-inspired 2024 Hydra Glide Revival, retailing at $46,995 plus on roads, I assume. And it got you thinking, is it time to give up on Harley? Is basically the first paragraph of your story. And you look at that bike, and it looks like something, you're exactly right, straight out of the 50s. I don't like it. It's old.
It's, I mean, like, I can see both sides of it. Like, there are some cool things about it that I do like, and I do appreciate that really old school styling. But at the end of the day, it's a $47,000 limited edition motorcycle, one of many we have seen from Harley-Davidson lately. And to be honest, most manufacturers seem to be jumping on the limited edition bandwagon, and I absolutely hate it. Go to making motorcycles for the masses, for the love of God. But yeah, it's a bike that harkens back to the 1950s. In order to have ridden the original Hydra Glide, which from what I remember reading the press release was Harley's first hydraulic suspension motorcycle, in order to have ridden that bike and appreciated it in its original form and continue to enjoy it now, you'd have to be in your 80s.
Which is, wow.
Yeah, my dad's 74 and he's too young to have ridden that bike. But he'd appreciate the styling because a lot of those guys that grew up in, say, the 50s, 60s would probably look at those bikes secondhand market or whatever and go, yeah, that's cool. And that part of the culture. But still, Harley is just focusing on that really old man segment again. It was the problem they had back in the early 2000s. They were so ingrained in that sort of boomer culture that they were cutting their nose off despite their face. They were struggling with sales. They had a lineup of motorcycles that were going for a market that was getting increasingly older. Then Matt Levatich became CEO and brought in the street platform, Pan America, with the RevMax, the Livewire. Then when, obviously, that cost a lot of money and the shareholders weren't liking that, he got kicked out and Jochen Sykes was put in, Mr. Shoemaker. And he's just doubled down on the old Harley recipe. And it's really, really disappointing because for a while there, they were doing some really cool work. Yes, some of the bikes were not perfect. The Street Rod, for instance, had some pretty horrible ergonomics, mostly because they saddled it with the Street 500's tank. If they'd given it a different fuel tank, I think it would have made a hell of a lot of difference. I actually wrote an opinion piece about that at some point as well, how you could fix the Street Rod. But yeah, they've done that. They're doubling down. They're doing all the new models for 2024. None of them were, at least for our market, any of the modern Revolution Max engines. You had, I think, a CVO Pan America, which was, let's face it, an adventure bike with incredibly expensive paint. Don't really see the point of that at all. And the rest of the bikes are all Milwaukee 8 power planted bikes with either the 114 cubic inch engine or the 117 or the, I think, 121 they're up to now. Huge engines, huge money needed to buy them. And yeah, it's really disappointing to see Harley sort of doubling down on that market with nothing coming in.
I think that's the exact word. It is disappointing because they brought out the Pan America, which had the first iteration of that Revolution Max engine. And then they brought out the
Sportster 1250, yes.
Yes, with the same engine, a few tweaks and bits and pieces here and there. They finally brought out the Nightster, which has a Revolution Max derived but smaller capacity version of that engine.
Yeah, it's the 950 version, I think it is, and it's the one that they were going to put in their Bronx concept, which was the Harley Street Fighter, which Mr. Zeitz decided to kill. And I've heard rumors that it is dead and buried and we're never going to see it. But yeah, the Nightster is kind of an interesting one. I was hoping to ride that about this time last year, but then I got pneumonia and Harley stopped emailing me after I said, hey, I've got pneumonia, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to pick up this test bike. But that one looks like a Sportster should. The 1250 has, again, it's gone style over substance. Great engine.
The Sportster S.
Sportster S, yes, sorry. And, yeah, great engine. Love that RevMax engine. And they put it in, let's face it, not a particularly dynamic chassis.
And big fat tyres with nothing.
Yeah, that love to squirt water all over you when you go on a rainy ride. So yeah, the Nightster looks like a Sportster should. The Sportster has traditionally been the entry point into the Harley market. It still achieves that. It is, I think, $3,000 or $4,000 cheaper than the cheapest Milwaukee 8 powered bike. But even then, our mate Mike rides a Softail Standard, I think it is, and that was previously the cheapest way into a quote unquote proper Harley. And they axed that too because they weren't making enough money on it.
So if you were in charge of Harley tomorrow, what would you do?
Bring Matt Levitich back. The guy had vision. He had a scope for looking at the broader picture, looking at the wider industry. He brought Harley into the adventure bike segment, which has proven to be the biggest selling segment in the market. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. He was also investing into other markets, small capacity stuff. And honestly, I think if they'd given him a couple more years, he probably could have started making some decent money, or at least changing things and how Harley is perceived. They were for doing so well at changing that perception from Harleys are slow, fat American bikes for dentists and old men and gang members that can't go around corners. And there were some really cool bikes that came out. I think one was called the Sportster Roadster. It was like a cafe racer Sportster. That was pretty cool. It didn't last very long, but it was cool. They just did, under Matt Levitich's CEO-ness, what was it, leadership? That's direction, probably a better word. Yeah. I think they were really starting to sort of become a mover and a shaker rather than an aging dinosaur. And modern Harley just doesn't seem to be investing in the future. They're just completely blindfolded, back to looking at the past, back to looking at that wealthy, older market. And you can't say that they're ignoring the younger market, because they've just released the 350X and 500X. But then there are some serious issues with those bikes too, if you want to go into those.
Hey, we've got time. What are the issues off the top of your head?
So Harley's previous Lunar approved motorcycles, the Street 500, that was out and out of Harley. It was designed by Harley, had a V-twin engine like a Harley should. Yes, it was made in India, but that helped get its price point down. And yeah, it's an authentic Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Yes, it's not made in Milwaukee, but still, it's a Harley through and through. The new bikes are badge engineering at its finest, we'll put it that way. They are based on bikes produced by QJ Motor in China. I don't know what the QJ branded bikes are called off the top of my head, but we know the 500 originally was the Benelli Leoncino 500, which was released in 2017. Harley has changed the styling, kept the chassis, kept the engine, and thankfully they have replaced the dash, because that was probably the worst part about the Benelli 500. But it's still a bike that was designed primarily in 2017, or before 2017, it was released then, and they're charging over $3,000 more for the Harley version than Benelli charges for the Benelli version, which is... yeah, that's a hard pill to swallow. Like, you're really desperate to get in on the brand if you're going to buy that bike.
I thought you were going to go in a completely different angle on this conversation just now. I thought you were going to say it's not a Harley because it's made in India or Taiwan or somewhere like that. And then I was going to come back to you and say, yeah, but we're riding, or have been riding, Moto Marinis made in China, but they're, you know, we've been touting these as great bikes. I've been saying the CMEZO SCR is the best bang for buck lambs bike on the market. You've gone a completely different way, and I didn't realize that bike is the Benelli Leoncino 500. That is astounding.
Put the silhouettes, put them side by side, a side-on picture of the Harley 500X and the Benelli Leoncino 500, and it is almost an identical silhouette. They put on some different plastics over the tank, but it is essentially the same bike. We're lucky we didn't get the Benelli 350, which the 350X is based on, and they've honestly done a lot better of a job in making it more of a Harley, that bike. The styling is very reminiscent of a Harley dirt tracker from the AMA Dirt Track Championships or whatever that's called. Great looking bike, but again, it's still based on a Benelli product and they are charging more than Benelli charges. We don't get the 350, so it's not so much of an issue, but yeah, it's you're paying for the Harley badge there, but you're not getting the Harley substance, which you at least get with the Street 500. And yeah. I sort of feel like a bit of a dick for pointing it out, but and it feels kind of like I'm being a bit of a snob, but I just don't think you're getting the value. You're better off buying the Benelli and saving yourself $3,000, get some decent riding kits, get some rider training, go on an epic road trip. That's $3,000 you're saving getting basically an identical bike.
So somebody's got a bottle of Barry's Cola, got a Vivid, crossed out Barry's Cola and written Coca-Cola on the label.
Pretty much, yeah. No idea who Barry's Cola is, but I'm guessing it's some thrifty cola that doesn't cost quite
as
much.
It's probably some Soda Stream with some of that syrup in it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of the feeling I get with the Harley, new Harley Lambs bikes. It's awesome that they are back in that market, but it feels like a very not even half-hearted effort to do it. It's more a reality that the Lunar-approved market in New Zealand and Australia is the top-selling segment, and you've got to be in there if you want to capture your riders early. And, oh, yeah, it's. I think they had it right the first time. If they'd developed, been able to develop that Street 500 platform to meet emissions, tidy up the ergonomics a bit, or even just breathe some new life into it styling-wise, that could have been a rip-roaring success for many more years to come. And when they finally did get rid of it, and I think it was 2021, it was still selling really well here in New Zealand. So
I don't know if it's just my perception of the brand, but I've always seen Harley-Davidson kind of side-by-side with Ian. To do in my little shell, in my little world, do similar bikes. But then Indian went and did the FTR, and I think Indian have kind of straddled this cruiser and exciting bike world for a while now and done quite well. So they've gone off into the and you know, paved new paths and done big things and kind of moved forward, where Harley Davidson have gone, well, we're going to do the opposite of what they've done, and they've done it wrong. And it just seems to me that they've wallowed and you know, tried new paths and backtracked and U-turned and faffed around, while Indian are actually getting some stuff done.
Yeah, Indian definitely is far more modern. They invest a lot more in R&D, and they actively are pursuing sort of a more modern market, where Harley have sort of gone, no, we're the old school guys, we do it old school. And you're right, I think Indian have got something really cool with the FTR. It's getting a bit stale now, the new colours and limited editions again, but they don't have any competition in that market. Harley hasn't produced anything remotely like the FTR. You've still got the Scouts, which, yep, they're getting a bit long in the tooth, but they still sell. You've got the new Challenger with the new Power Stroke engines, which place sort of, they've still got the Thunderstrokes, the great big beautiful, they look like they've been sort of carved out of solid marble sort of thing, the Thunderstroke engines. And yeah, Indian sort of seems to be a bit more forward thinking, where Harley is not. And hey, if it works for them, that's cool, because Indian's had a rough history up and down, and I think we're in a period of time where Indian's doing it better.
If you want to read the full opinion piece, check out the photos. I welcome you to head over to onthrottle.co.nz, click the features button, and at the time of recording this, it's the first one there, but it won't be too far down the list if it's not the top one on the list as you go to it now. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me and having this yarn. I welcome.
Thanks for putting up with my whinge about Harley could be so much better.
I don't think it was a whinge. I think it was something that we need to have a conversation about. And I welcome the listeners to jump on Facebook, search out Kiwi Rider Podcast and continue the conversation. Because I'd love to hear other people's point of view. Is there something in this equation that we're not seeing? I mean, we're in our mid-30s, close enough. Is there something that we're not getting? Is it an age thing or an experience thing? What are we not picking up? I mean,
maybe we're a forgotten generation by Harley. They've got stuff for the riders that are a lot younger than us, or they've got stuff for the riders that are a lot older than us, but they've got nothing for us.
I got to say, I did get to ride a sport glide a couple of years back, and that was the most impractical motorcycle I've ever ridden.
Oh, yeah, that's a great bike. Like, that's the bike you buy if you want a Harley, but you're not sure which one to get, because it's about three different bikes in one.
Yeah.
And you can change it out in like 2 minutes. You can take the front fairing off, you can pop the bags off, or you can pop the bags off, keep the fairing on, you can strip it all the way back. It's a great bike, and it's got the, I think it might be one of the only bikes in the lineup that still has the 107 cubic inch version of the Milwaukee 8, which I maintain is probably still the actual most engaging version of that engine.
Yeah, you like that one, don't you?
Yeah, the 114, 117, 121 all have way more torque, but I like sort of the more free-revving nature of the 107. It feels a lot more playful, it's enjoyable, and yeah, I just think that's what floats my boat a bit better. But again, that bike's over $33,000 now. Like,
I like the fact that I could go to the supermarket with it and fill the panniers.
Practical.
Right, that about wraps up the show. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch, email me, t7adventuresnz@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of Matt, go to onthrottle.co.nz. Search out On Throttle on YouTube, because he's doing occasional videos. MotoNZ.com is my website, with a new video every week at MotoNZ's YouTube channel. Kiwi Rider Magazine, out twice a month, absolutely free, packed full of motorcycling news, test rides, gear tests, all the stuff that you care about as a motorcyclist. Go to kiwirider.co.nz and search that out there. Hit that subscribe button and it will arrive in your inbox twice a month, absolutely free. Otherwise, I've been Ray.
I've been Matt.
Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you in 7 days' time.